So this Advent season, I've been planning to do a sermon series on the rest, R-E-S-T, just resting in Christmas. And I was planning not to do this quietness one first. I was planning to do this one later toward when we actually sing Christmas Eve, Silent Night. It's really kind of a Silent Night feel, the quietness. But I couldn't get away from it this past week. And maybe it's because the Holy Spirit wants us on the front end of Advent to get underneath this and think about the quietness of Christmas, of the Advent season leading up to Christmas. Because yes, it can be a time of chaos and busyness and noise and other distractions in this season. But underneath that, there runs this reverberating thrum. Yeah, you can quote me on that, reverberating thrum. A yearning for rest and quietness in Christ. Not just peace and quiet alone, but in Jesus Christ. Going to share, read first of all from Matthew chapter 1. This is one of two of the main Christmas texts in the Bible. We're going to read both of them today, actually. First, Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. This is kind of the Joseph angle. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The first of the three quietness points is quietness when things are wrong. Now, we know the whole story. Well, I just read it, meaning we know what Joseph learned, but we need to go back and pause and sink in a bit to when Joseph first learns that his betrothed, Mary, was pregnant. When things are wrong, at that moment, things became very wrong for Joseph in his mind and in his heart. But as I read there, we learn that Joseph was faithful to the law, which means he knew the Torah, he knew the word of God. It also means, as we see with his character, he had faith in the Lord, not just simply like the Pharisees to the letter of the law, but he had a living faith in his God. Now, Mary's pregnant. Says they were pledged to be married. In today's terms, we think of that as being engaged. But this is more than that. Not simply engagement, but actual marriage apart from the consummation, apart from the intimate union of man and woman in marriage. They were, for all practical purposes, married. The marriage just hadn't been consummated yet. And now he finds out that Mary's pregnant. I'm going to read a verse or two in Deuteronomy 22. This is from the law. Joseph was faithful to the law. He knew this law. If a man takes a wife, I'm going to skip a few verses here and go to verse 20. Basically, if a husband suspects that his wife was not a virgin on the night of their consummating their marriage, and there's proof found that she was not a virgin, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. She has done an outrageous thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. tough few verses. Joseph knew these verses. He knew this in the law. But what didn't Joseph do? He did not do that. In fact, he sought to not even shame Mary. He didn't seek vengeance. He didn't seek any of that. And this was even according to the law. What did Joseph do? It's not in the text, but I'm pretty sure Joseph spent some time in prayer. Mary's pregnant. Lord, what do I do? And we know he's in tune even as he's going asleep at night. I don't know how he could sleep in this circumstance, but he was asleep. And he learns from an angel, from a messenger from the Lord, don't be afraid of anything, really, but don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her was conceived, Joseph, by the Holy Spirit of God. She's a virgin. Wow. And Joseph remained throughout this quiet. It said he decided to divorce her, break off that marriage quietly. Not exposing her to shame or disgrace, looking out for Mary. Wow. Quiet. When things are wrong, and yet he learned they weren't wrong after all in this case. Second point of quietness when things are wrong. No crying he makes. We sang that in the song Away in a Manger. You know, the cattle are lowing. Baby awakes, Jesus. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Well, it's not a sin for babies to cry. It's not. I'm pretty sure, in fact, you know, when a baby's born, the doctor wants them to cry, gets them breathing, you know, healthy sign. Jesus probably cried as a baby. We actually know as an adult he did cry. He wept, right? When Lazarus was dead and he saw the grief with Mary and Martha and others, Jesus wept. I'm saying no crying he makes fulfills a different prophecy of a different time in Jesus' life. We heard it in the song. It's all about the cross. Why did God send his only son to be born in Bethlehem so that one day, as a 33-year-old man, sinless, holy, righteous, he would go to the cross? The prophecy relates to that. It's from Isaiah 53, verse 7. It's about Jesus, the Messiah. It says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Now Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, he did cry out, but it was out in the Garden of Gethsemane between him and his Father. Father, if there is any way, this cup may be taken from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And shortly after that, Judas and the soldiers bearing the torches come and take him away. And he submits to them. And then they have this kangaroo court in the middle of the night, false accusations, lies, a false trial. Everything was wrong. And in the midst of this greatest injustice history has ever seen, the only man who had never sinned, no crime, nothing could stick to Jesus. He was silent in the face of that. Quietness when things are wrong. What didn't Jesus do? He could have called down 10,000 angels. He could have flattened everyone. He could have said the truth, which he did. Everything he said was true. But he was quiet. What did Jesus do and why? Well, it wasn't only to fulfill Isaiah 53:7. It was to follow and fulfill his Father's will, which was for him to go to the cross for you and for me, for the sins of the whole world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world 2,000 years ago, but to save the world through him. Quietness when things are wrong. And yet, we can be quiet because with God, things are all right. Second point, quietness in the midst of mystery. Now, that reading from Matthew 1, after Joseph is asleep, the angel comes to him and explains, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, that clears up the mystery that Joseph must have wondered as well. How did she become pregnant? Who's the father? Who? No idea. That's cleared up. The father is the father. It's God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That clears up that mystery, and yet I think this is overcome by much, much greater mystery. Wow. Michael Card is an author, theologian, singer, songwriter, and he imagined this in Joseph's mind and heart. It's a song called Joseph's Song. I'm not going to sing it, but here are some of the lyrics. Joseph's Song, how could it be? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair, and when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. See, he thought he cried too. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? How could it be? You know, we don't ever hear a quote from Joseph in the Bible, the adopted father of Jesus. We don't have a quote from him. We know he quietly pondered. Strongly believe he prayed much. We do know that he obeyed the Lord. Every time the Lord spoke to him, Joseph, who had sought to follow God's law already, when the angel says, don't be afraid, he takes Mary home. When the Lord says, flee to Egypt, it simply says Joseph did everything the Lord commanded him to do. He simply quietly obeyed. Mary, we do hear from her. Praise God. We hear the Magnificat, her song of praise. We hear her engage and talk with her relative Elizabeth. We hear her speak even to Jesus. But we also know that Mary quietly pondered. It's about Mary that we have this verse that says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Quietness in the face of mystery. Here's the most well-known, the most popular Christmas passage, Luke chapter 2. Yes, on this first Sunday of Advent, I'm going to read this as well. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The first time we read that is right there. Jesus has been born. He's lying in the manger. And these shepherds, we don't know how many, but they had hurried in from outside of Bethlehem, out in the fields, watching over the sheep, and they're coming in to look for the sign, and they find them somehow. And they come in. These shepherds, sweaty, hurried. We don't hear any exchange of words in that moment. We'll come back to that. But Mary, all these things, she's treasuring up in her heart and pondering them. You know, that very similar to that verse shows up later in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It says, "But his mother," speaking about Mary, "treasured all these things in her heart." Now, this is when Jesus was 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And after the festival was over, Mary and Joseph and the whole family group, hundreds perhaps, are heading back toward Nazareth, people leaving Jerusalem, and they travel a whole day before Mary and Joseph realize 12-year-old Jesus is not in the group. He's not with them. They travel a day back into Jerusalem, look all over for Jesus, and eventually find him in the temple courts, sitting there with the teachers in the temple, listening to them and asking them questions. And Mary says to Jesus, "Son," she says this to Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." 12-year-old Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. They went back to Nazareth. Jesus was obedient to them, but his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And in between there, still in Luke chapter 2, Jesus on the eighth day was circumcised and he was named Jesus. 33 days or so after that, Jesus is about 40 days old, and Mary and Joseph take him back to the temple to present him to the Lord in accordance with the law of Moses. And there's a man in Jerusalem at the temple named Simeon. He had been waiting. It's a whole other story here. But it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so when Mary and Joseph come back with baby Jesus, month and 10 days old or so, Simeon is moved by the Spirit. He goes to the temple courts, comes right to them. He takes the baby Jesus in his own arms. Simeon does. And he praises God and says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Luke 2:33 says, "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him." Joseph and Mary treasuring, pondering this man and his words and Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them, and then he says to Mary specifically, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I can imagine Mary not only treasured that, but deeply pondered that. Maybe when Jesus was 12 years old and was left behind, as it were, in Jerusalem, maybe that was when Mary thought again, "Yeah, I pierced my soul, my heart." But what was it really about? It's all about the cross. Quietness in the face of mystery, many mysteries. Third point, quietness in the presence of God. This is really what point one, point two, what Advent, what everything is about. Emmanuel, God with us. Us with God. The shepherds, I'm guessing a fairly normal night so far. It's nighttime. They're watching over their sheep. You can hear the white noise, just the background, all the sheep. You know, every now and then, I can't do that sound very well. I'll try a trumpet, but the sheep, I'm not as... But there, you know, it's a nighttime, and all of a sudden, an angel and the glory of the Lord. And they're, I like the King James, sore afraid. Yes, their body paralyzed with fear intensely. Angel says, "Do not be afraid." Good news, great joy. And now their adrenaline, you know, from paralyzed fear to just this adrenaline rush. Here's a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, an animal feeding trough. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about. And it says they hurried. And when it says they hurried, that means they hastened. They went quickly. They ran to find this sign. I mean, if you saw an angel of the Lord and heard this in the glory, you're going to go. And your adrenaline is going and your whole soul is into this. And they get to the manger and they see Mary and Joseph. And we don't hear something from the shepherds in that moment. Quietness in the presence of God. Mary, Joseph, Jesus, the shepherds. We don't hear an exchange. We don't hear a conversation there. I don't know how long they were there at the manger. That's when they catch their breath. And then they go back out and talk again and tell everybody about what they've seen and heard, which was just as the Lord had told them it would be. One more passage, Matthew chapter 2, the Magi. I won't read the whole text, but after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Just to skim through, King Herod then summons the chief priests, the teachers, to find out. They learn from the word of God, the prophecy, it's Bethlehem. And now, verse 9, after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them again now until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house in Bethlehem, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And the Magi bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their country by another route. We hear them talk. They ask Herod. They're speaking in Jerusalem. We don't know how far they traveled. There's mystery here about the Magi. Perhaps hundreds of miles, probably with camels who aren't mentioned, to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem to Bethlehem, only about another 5.5 miles or so. Can you imagine that? There's the star again, to Bethlehem, to the house where the child Jesus and Mary are. We don't hear words here. We simply see and hear what they do. And they see Jesus and these Magi bow down and worship. That's knees to the ground, face to the ground, arms outstretched. How long did they stay like that before the king? Oh. If you've been to the funeral and then the burial for a military veteran, perhaps you've seen the flag folding ceremony. It's done in quietness, solemnity, reverence even. The American flag is folded. It's inspected. The one who's going to receive it salutes the flag. It's handed to him, and then the flag is saluted again. And then it is presented, often to the spouse, to a family member. Some of the power in that ceremony is the quietness. The Magi, when they see Jesus, they bow down, worship. There are things wrong in the world. Agreed? Some things. Many things. Rest in the quietness of Jesus Christ. In prayer. In His Word. There are many mysteries I don't understand. There are many mysteries in life. Tomorrow is a mystery. Whether you've planned it out or not, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone the rest of today. Rest in the quietness of Jesus Christ. This Advent season, take time. Here's a challenge: to turn off all your devices. Cell phone, TV, computer, other devices that play music or other things, all the noise, all everything. It's a challenge, right? All screens, all sounds, and take that time to pray, to ponder the things of God, treasure up in your heart, and to simply be in His presence. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for the living Word, Jesus Christ, who took on flesh to dwell among us so that one day He would, in full submission to Your will, go to the cross to save us. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.